I'll ride up that way with you tomorrow, Dave, and help drive in them cattle. Will you, Pete? That'll be fine, the young cowboy explained. Evidently, there was a strong feeling of affection between the two. Dave looked to Mr. Carson for confirmation. Very well, ranch owner said. You and Pete may go, Dave, but don't take any chances with the rustlers if you encounter them. We're not likely to, said Pocus Pete significantly. From the distant cookhouse came the appetizing odor of food, and Dave sniffed the air eagerly. Hungry? Asked Mr. Carson. That's what I am, Dad. Well, eat hearty, get a good rest, and tomorrow you can try your hand at driving strays. Evening settled down over the Bar U Ranch, a calm, quiet evening in spite of the earlier signs of a storm. In the far west, a faint, intermittent light showed where the elements were raging, but it was so far off that not even the faintest rumble of thunder came over Rolling River, a stream about a mile distant, on the banks of which were now quartered the cattle which the cowboys had recently rounded up for shipment. The only sounds that came with distinctness were the occasional barking and baying of a dog as he saw the rising moon, and the dull shuffle of the shifting cattle which were being guarded by several cowboys who were night riding. Very early the next morning, Dave Carson and Pocus Pete, astride their favorite horses, and carrying with them a substantial lunch, set off after the strays which had been dimly observed the day before up Forked Branch Way.
"And do you think my parents are dead?" Dave faltered. "I'm afraid so," was the low answer. "There were many grown folk and children who perished in the flood. At any rate, Dave, I've kept you ever since. How this Whitey Wasson learned the secret, I cannot say. I did hope it would never be brought to your knowledge, though I made no effort at the time I rescued you to conceal the fact that I had, in a measure, adopted you. I suppose Whitey must have heard the story from someone who was in the flooded Missouri district at the time and has since come west. But that's how the matter stands. You're not really my son, though you're as dear to me as though you were. I hope this will make no difference to you, knowing this secret. I want you to continue living here just as you always have. In fact, it'd break my heart if you were to leave me after all these years. You will stay, won't you?" And he held out his hand. "Why, yes," said Dave after a moment. "I have no other place to go, and I certainly owe you a deep debt of gratitude for your care for a nameless orphan for so many years." "Don't say that, Dave. Don't call yourself nameless. You can have my name and welcome. You know that. I want you to have it. I'll legally adopt you if necessary. And as for owing me, don't name it. You were welcome to all I could do and more. Why, you've been like a son to me. I wouldn't know how to get along without you at the ranch here. You must stay."
To Dave's surprise, he saw the cattle in a small stampede rushing from the corral straight toward him in an overwhelming mass. Dave hesitated but a moment, and then clapping spurs to his horse, he wheeled and rode straight at the oncoming steers, shouting and waving his hat in one hand, while with the other he fired shot after shot from his big revolver. "Don't fall now, Crow. Don't you dare to stumble," breathed Dave, leaning over to speak into the very ear of his coal-black steed. "Don't step in any holes and throw me, for if you do, it's all up with both of us." Yet, knowing that danger as he did, Dave never for an instant faltered. He was going to stop that stampede and drive back the...